Okay, so this is Akayla doing the first interview for Mr. August Johnson's book, and this is an interview with Dr. Roy Gottfried. So, the first question is, please state your name and the year in which you were born. Yes.
Roy Gottfried, May 21st, 1948.
How did you come to work at Vanderbilt?
Well, you know, like most academics, I applied for an opening, and then they go through a series of interviews at a professional meeting. Then you're invited to campus to give, if they pursue you, and then they choose among two or three candidates who come, and they offer a job to one of the visitors, and that was it.
Why did you decide to apply to work at Vanderbilt?
Well, I was finishing my PhD, and that's pretty much an academic job, was what, you know, you would hope to get. And I applied to Vanderbilt because at the time I applied, there were not a lot of jobs available in colleges and universities.
Hmm. What subject have you taught or do you teach, and why did you choose that subject?
I teach English literature, a variety of different subjects. My academic specialty is James Joyce, the Irish writer, but I teach a variety of courses. I got a PhD in English because I've always enjoyed reading and talking about literature. I majored in English literature in college, so.
Awesome. What have you enjoyed most about working at Vanderbilt?
Well, I enjoy the students. They're really very interesting and good students and always make class an enjoyable encounter. Oh, that's been true for a long time.
What has your time at Vanderbilt taught you?
Well, the first thing it taught me was that I had come from the Northeast and I'd never been outside of the Northeast. So coming here 40 years ago was an interesting way of learning about different parts of the country, especially the South, which is a very particular part of the country, and an opportunity to meet with a broader and more diverse range of people than I had encountered in my, you know, college years and graduate school years.
What do you like to do in your free time?
Well, recently, not a lot, as I'm getting older. I used to play a lot of basketball. I used to play here on campus twice a week. So that's one of those hobbies that I used to have. I actually used to play years ago with lots of people from building and grounds and housekeeping. That's changed a variety. That was long before the rec center was built.
Is that how you became acquainted with Mr. Johnson?
No. Mr. Johnson was the custodian in the English department. The English department used to be located in Vanderbilt Hall, and the top two floors were dormitory, and the bottom two floors were the English department. And Mr. Johnson was assigned to the building to be the custodian for the dormitory part as well as the offices. And he was there when I came, so we met under, you know, when I moved into the building, into an office in that building.
So how long have you been acquainted with him?
More than 40 years.
How did your friendship with Mr. Johnson develop, and how do you feel as though it has lasted?
Well, it started because I was from the New York area, although I've been in various places in New England, and as you know, if you know anything about August, he is a lifelong Yankees fan, dyed-in-the-wool Yankees fan. So when he had heard I was from New York, and in those days was a Yankees fan, and a baseball fan, we hit it off right away. And you know, we obviously have a long continuing interest in baseball to this day, but that was the sort of initial start of our friendship.
What specific memories come to mind when you think of your first encounters with Mr. Johnson?
Well, I can't, you know, remember the first one. You know, I mean, I understand that question. I can't remember. We go back a very, very long time, and I certainly have memories years ago of playing softball together on the weekends, usually people from younger faculty and graduate students and Mr. Johnson, we'd play softball, and of course I have many memories of going to local baseball games with August and things like that. I can't really remember the very first time I met him. I'm pretty sure he came into my office and asked me about if I was from New York and was I a Yankees fan. I'm pretty sure, because he's done that with many people. So that's probably how it started.
Can you describe a time where y'all have been out on the weekends? Like you said, you go to the baseball game.
Well, we've been to many baseball games in town, and of course we took a trip to spring training twice in the spring. But those weekends years ago, there was softball fields in Centennial Park, and we used to get a group of people together and just, you know, sort of get play softball. I mean, August, of course, was an extremely good baseball player, just loved to play, so he would come by, and you know, it would be mostly informal games, but lots of fun in the fall and spring.
Can you describe the overall environment on Vanderbilt's campus when you and Mr. Johnson first developed your friendship, and how does that environment compare to now?
I said before that for me, coming here was an experience in which I met a broader range of people than I had in my college years in my life. I came from a suburban environment. So coming to Vanderbilt put me in a lot more contact with the staff, housekeeping staff, and the cafeteria staff, who were, you know, mostly black people. So it was a new experience for me. Vanderbilt was a school that was not anywhere near as diverse in the student body as it is now. And most minorities were in the building and grounds and housekeeping, and very few among students. And so that's obviously changed a great deal over the years.
So this question is related to that. It asks, what was the racial climate like when you first began your interactions with Mr. Johnson, and how does the racial climate then compare to now?
Well, you know, 40 years ago, Nashville being a city in the South, although not a deep South city, usually there was a sense, as that I saw as an outsider, that there were, you know, different spheres where there was not a lot of interaction between white people and black people. There was a, and this is just my impression, you know, a kind of peaceful coexistence, you know, but not a lot of interaction. Campus there was, because of the staff and the cafeteria staff. And I didn't think it was a antagonistic one by any means. It didn't seem quite so separate, because there's a lot of common interests and experiences among the people I encountered, which seemed different than in the North. But as the student body increased in its geographical and ethnic diversity, it obviously made the environment much more open.
So Do you think that in your initial interactions that you and Mr. Johnson had to like break down any of the barriers that came along with being of different races or?
I never felt we were doing that, but I think other people did. You know, there were times in which, you know, when we would go to the ballpark together and we would drive in the same car, you know, I think that other people might have noticed that. I didn't think of us as breaking down barriers. We were just friends, you know. But I'm probably to outside observers at the time, yes, I think so.
Were there like any instances that would make you think that was the case?
That people noticed?
Mm-hmm.
Well, nothing that, you know, anybody said or anything. It just, it was not something you'd see very frequently,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I think that, I mean, even August himself would comment on that fact that we were doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What kind of things would he say?
Okay, well, this is a joke. So one day we went to the ballpark, and I drove over. This is the Nashville Sounds ballpark, which used to be over off of Franklin Road. It's not the new ballpark. And so we were driving over there for an exhibition game with Major League Baseball. And I had parked near Vanderbilt Hall, which is where we were at the time. And August went to get in the back seat and of my car, and I said, "Ace, ride in the front." I said, "You don't have to ride in the back of the bus." And they said, "I want everybody to see me being driven around by a white man." So I think he was also aware of how other people would view it. But it was one of those moments. I mean, we always had ways of joking about it, but I didn't see why he had to get into the back seat. But he explained it in his own terms. So that was a good example that, you know, and we always have had we've been able to talk about stuff like that, he and I, you know, but it's never been the point of our interactions.
Mm-hmm. So why do you call him Ace?
Oh, well, that's a name he goes by. He's just been the Ace for years. I mean, his name is August, but he prefers most people who know him well to call him Ace. Mm-hmm. It's always been his name. I mean, his nickname. I mean, his mama didn't call him Ace, but... So yeah, I mean, when I think of it, I always think of Ace. I have to say Mr. Johnson or August. But yeah, he always wanted to be called Ace for people he knew well.
So you've described going to baseball games and just like generally hanging out on the weekend, playing baseball and stuff like that together. In what other like regards or contexts did you and Mr. Johnson hang out outside of the professional realm?
Well, you know, we've been over at each other's houses from time to time. My wife and I have been to his house a couple of times when we were first married. His sister cooked dinner for us. So, you know, we've not socialized, but we visited each other's houses. He came one day to show my boys when they were little his big 1976 Cadillac Coupe de Ville. They'd never seen a car that big because most people aren't used to what cars were like in the 70s. He took them for a ride in his big Cadillac. So, you know, we've had those kind of encounters. I go out and visit him now that he's retired. And then, you know, the famous baseball trip that we took together. Two trips, but, you know, that was where we went away from Nashville.
What were the two famous trips?
He always talks about them. It's one of those things he really much enjoyed. Another colleague, Professor Bell, and I took August to Florida to see the Yankees in spring training in Tampa. We went two different spring breaks, and I think we did it 2 years apart. I don't remember the details. So we flew down from here and rented a car and went to the Yankees ballpark, which Ace really liked, and then we saw a couple of other spring training games with other teams for about 4 or 5, 6 days, came back. That was fun. I mean, we had a great time, and August had not been outside of Tennessee, so he was fascinated by the environment of Florida, like palm trees and different grass they have and everything. So it was interesting to watch him You know, he'd been a few other places before. He had taken a trip to Chicago and Minneapolis that I knew about. But the trip to spring training, because he loved baseball. And we got to see a couple of really famous retired Yankee players, which he appreciated a lot. So that was good.
And so when did you take those trips?
I'm trying to remember the date. In the early 90s, I think. Yeah, probably. I don't remember. I mean, you know, it's a long time ago now. But, yeah, probably in the early 90s, maybe even 98. I don't remember. I could remember by thinking about which players we saw. But, I mean, long enough from your perspective, but not as long as I've known August.
So how did the trips come about? Like, how was it decided that you guys would go?
Well, he had never, you know, he just loves the Yankees, and it was a convenient thing. The summer is a different time, and, you know, spring break is an easy time. And spring training was still easy to get to then. Now it's really hard to get tickets. And the Yankees had moved into a brand new spring training stadium. So we decided to take the opportunity. It's modeled like Yankee Stadium, so it had a chance to sort of look a little bit like Yankee Stadium. We wanted to take a trip to New York, but it was a lot more complicated. Florida's always easier to visit, closer. Mm-hmm. And the summertime is hard to get everybody organized to go on a trip. So, and he loved, you know, he loves baseball, he loves the Yankees, so it was an ideal way of doing it. You saw more players informally than you would if you go to a major league ballpark during the season. So it had that possibility of intimacy, and a lot of retired players who were hanging around, who we got to meet. So that was another advantage.
So you said that it was you and then Dr. Bell and then Mr. Johnson. So what has the relationship or friendship between you three been like?
Well, pretty much on similar grounds to mine with August. Dr. Bell has been here much longer. He's been here almost as long as Mr. Johnson has. He and I, Professor Bell and I, are friends too. So we're both friends together and friends each with August and then the three of us. So that was a lot of fun. I mean, it was a sort of like nice kind of road trip experience mm-hmm. for people who know each other very well. So.
What interests and passions do you share with Mr. Johnson?
Well, baseball. Mm-hmm. Sports in general, but mostly baseball. Yeah. I mean, that's the main one. That's sort of August's main interest.
Are there any others that stand out for you?
Well, talking about sports in general, but mostly baseball, the history of baseball, commenting on current events, watching games together. I mean, I've heard a lot about August's life at Vanderbilt and his experiences growing up in Nashville that I've learned a lot from, things that he's told me. But, you know, those aren't the same thing as sharing an interest in a sport or mm-hmm. something like that.
So what do you think you've learned about Nashville?
I've learned an awful lot mm-hmm. about Nashville and how things have changed over August's life. I mean, you know, the way Nashville exists now and who lives in what neighborhood was different in those days, and there was a greater sort of mix of ethnic and racial and economic neighborhoods that are not quite the same anymore, and different areas of town. August grew up in an area that's pretty much over in East Nashville, and now you think of, you know, East Nashville as being a very different kind of place. And so I learned a fascinating amount about Nashville. And also August has worked, you know, for many Nashville families, so he knows a lot about people in Nashville who've been here a long time. So you could really learn a lot about Nashville just from August's own experience. Mm-hmm.
What has he told you about his experiences working outside of Vanderbilt?
Well, he worked for several families in Nashville through a variety of connections. Sometimes the people worked at Vanderbilt, and he, you know, so he would occasionally do things for them around the house and things like that. And some of these families have been around for he knows three generations of these families. And that's true. He told me an interesting story when he was still in grade school that he worked for a married couple in Nashville who had a little general store over in East Nashville. He used to work after school, sweeping up and taking care of it when he was younger. And what those people did, and the fact that, you know, what East Nashville was like. So, I learned an awful lot about Nashville.
What characteristics might you use to describe Mr. Johnson and why?
Well, I've always thought of August as an extremely generous-spirited person. He thinks very well of people. He's not critical at all. He's, really takes a very, I think, very philosophical view about people and behavior and their, you know, situations in life. I mean, he's really very, very perceptive about people and situations. He's also tremendously loyal as a friend. So, I mean, I really think very highly of his character. I really do.
You kind of said some of these, but mm-hmm. In case there are more, tell me about your fondest memories of or with Mr. Johnson years.
I got a lot of them. One of the things I always remember in the softball games is, so August was a tremendous baseball player and a great hitter, very powerful man. He still is extremely powerful. And, you know, softball is slower than real baseball and the ball is bigger. And so I remember when August would bat in the softball games, and he'd be so quick with the bat and so powerful that he'd hit the ball and it would go very, very far. But the funny thing is he'd swing so quickly that the ball was never fair. I mean, he'd hit it like three fields over in foul territory. He could never hold himself off to hit it in fair territory. So you'd have to sort of run two fields over to get the ball, and it didn't count. And it was just really funny because it was great. And he was really good. He was great at fielding. He had terrific arm. So among the sad things is that he had an accident related to working at Vanderbilt a long time ago, probably about 38 years ago, where he, those windows that come forward, you know, the ones that mm-hmm. not to go up and down, but stuff, but well, he tried to shut one that was stuck and hit it with his hand, and he really badly cut his right hand. Mm-hmm. And he was really, I wasn't on campus when it happened. I was not in the office. And he had to be taken to the hospital and have emergency surgery. And he cut the tendons that worked the fingers. Mm-hmm. So ever since then, he hasn't been able to, you know, really use his right hand to grasp anything. And that's been 30. So, you know, that was the end of the baseball playing and you know, basketball playing. So if you ever see his hand, his right hand is, you know, got the effects of that. Very serious. I mean, he lost a huge amount. But it was really very, very serious. So that's not a fun memory. Mm-hmm. And then his wife died, you know, again about 38 years ago, and left him with a bunch of, I mean, many children who were young then. And I remember that too, his wife's funeral. So, you know, I have a lot of fun memories, like the car thing that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are a couple of things about his life too that I've been able to be part of.
So would you say that you are relatively close with him and his family?
Well, I wouldn't say. But yeah, I mean, I know them and I've sort of known him a long time. So yeah, I mean, his children are pretty grown now. I mean, they are grown, of course. But, you know, and I know a couple of them. I don't know all of them. So, I mean, I know a little bit, but I wouldn't say a lot.
So how do you think, after the accident, how did things change in terms of, so you said he wasn't able to play
baseball
afterwards, and so before that, you said you guys routinely go and play games and stuff like that, so how do you think, your friendship or your time or relationship together changed after he had the accident?
Well, I mean, I think that change probably would have happened even without the accident, because there's just, you know, you don't have as much time to play sports as you get further along and more involved in working. It didn't change because we spent a lot of time watching baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, so that, I don't think, changed. And, you know, after a period of time when he had to take off, he came back to work. So despite the fact that he couldn't, you know, use his hand completely, he still continued to work for another 37 years. So it didn't change his responsibilities and things he did, but it did mean he couldn't play baseball anymore. And you know, that was a hard thing.
How do you think the accident changed him?
I don't think it changed him personally in any particular way. And because, you know, at the time it happened, he was 40-something. It's not like he was in his playing days. Yeah. It didn't change him as a person. He didn't have any resentment or anything. I mean, that sort of real strong spirit of his didn't change. But, you know, I know it was hard not to be able to do things he used to do,
mm-hmm.
not just in general.
What admirable qualities do you feel Mr. Johnson has brought to the Vanderbilt community over the years?
Well, I think that sense of tolerance and his sense of, you know, sort of trying to understand other people's perspectives, even when Vanderbilt, you know, was a different institution than it is now, is a real lesson for people of being, you know, open and as I said, generous. I think that's a real lesson. And also it's a lesson in being, you know, loyal and responsible and to have worked all those years. 64 years is a long time to work, period, and mm-hmm. at the same place. So that's another lesson there too.
So you kind of already said these, but I think the like the anecdotes that you have, I like those. I think they're really cool. But this question asks, what's a particularly funny story that you remember involving Mr. Johnson?
Well, there's one about the car.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Bell tells a funny story, so are you going to interview him too?
Mm-hmm.
Well, ask him to tell the story about the seatbelt on the airplane, okay? Because that's one I'd remember, but he tells it better, okay? He'll know what I mean. The seatbelt on the airplane to Florida. I mean, I've always made a lot of jokes with the ace, but I can't remember a lot of them. We always joke around about stuff. I can tell you one, although it's not, I'm not sure you want to print it. But, so there was this cleaning solution he has to spray on tile and grout to make it, you know, get mold away, mm-hmm. and it's called Whitey. And so we always joke about the fact that Ace always wants to get Whitey, which is, I mean, seriously, see, we just crack up every time, you know?
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, so we do have jokes and stuff like that, but it's called, you know, it's called, so it's to spray that so that you don't get mold
yeah.
and tile like,
yeah.
in the bathroom. It's called Whitey, but we always make jokes about it.
That's too funny.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, so we have a bunch of, so, I mean, I think that joke illustrates, too, that, you know, we can joke about
mm-hmm.
racial stuff because we just feel comfortable together. But that is a funny one.
How do you think things, how do you think, or do you think, things have been different since he's retired?
Well, they are, I mean, for me, they're really different because, you know, I call him up, go once a week and go out there. I haven't seen him since before Christmas because it's busy time of year.
Mm-hmm.
So I miss him, and I think it's hard for him too. I think, you know, he enjoyed being here. He enjoyed meeting a lot of the, talking to professors. He always liked to, you know, learn about stuff from professors in the history department. He always asked questions about, you know, American history and stuff. So I think it's different, and I do think it's an example of how a lot of things change in college, and that some of the personal connections you make change, you know. And, you don't quite know the people as well as you did in the past.
How do you believe your time at Vanderbilt may have been different without Mr. Johnson's employment?
Oh, heavens. Terrible. Very, very different. I mean, mostly because I learned an awful lot about a different perspective, you know, what it was like to be a black person in the South, something I never would have known as well, you know, and as meaningfully, you know. I mean, it would have been an academic, you know, where you can read about it. Also, I think it's just incalculable. What I learned from August would have been is incalculable if he hadn't been here. You know, and I think I enjoyed just the daily contact. We always had stuff to talk about. We'd analyze games we watched the night before. I mean, so there was just a lot of, you know, I suppose the way I would put it is, you know, everybody talks about coming to college and making friends and building lifelong friendships with other people and when you go to college as a student. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you think that's going to happen if you come to teach at a college, but we did have just lots of stuff to talk about every day, and we saw each other every day, you know. So that without him, I would have been completely different about being here. I mean that seriously. So if he hadn't been here, I think my experience would have been just very, very poor, much poorer than it has been.
So you said you learned a lot about from him about what it was like to be a black person in the South.
Absolutely.
So. Like, what's something that really stands out in your mind about something that he told you about his experiences?
Well, I mean, remember, I talked about Ace being very generous about the conditions that he grew up in, because he doesn't have any rank or, so it was a way of introducing, even though he didn't have any anger or about the circumstances he grew up in, which were highly segregated, it was very interesting to me to hear what that segregation really meant. Like, you know, the school he had to go to was much further than the closest school, and there were parks that you couldn't play baseball in if you were black, mm-hmm. and there were whole places that you couldn't go, and they couldn't go to the movie, there were black theaters. I mean, something that somebody from the North just didn't have any real sense. And so to hear it from him, who lived through it, but who didn't have resentment, made it even more striking to me, I think. That's what I would say.
Interesting. So when you were growing up in the North, did you notice like any racial tensions there? Or like, so when you came to the South, is it just completely?
Well, I mean, I'm not by any means an expert, so this is my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, my sense was that I didn't see much race. Well, okay, I mean, you know, when you got to the 63 and the various riots and New York riots, but I mean, when I was growing up until, you know, the late 60s and civil rights movement, I mean, you know, you didn't, in the North, you didn't run across black people. I mean, there was much more separate sort of environments. Mm-hmm. And so you weren't aware of any racial tensions at all because there wasn't a lot of interaction.
Mm-hmm.
But in the South, what struck me when I came here, now, you know, I came in 75, so it's a long time, but, you know, black and white people occupy the same space, you know, and you could go to restaurants in North Nashville and things like that just didn't seem to be anything I'd experienced before. So I think that that's something I noticed, mm-hmm. you know. But I didn't sense racial tension. I just didn't have a lot of presence of black people, which is in itself a very telling fact, mm-hmm. but it's just you didn't have that kind of contact, mm-hmm. the way you grew up. And then, of course, coming from a suburban environment. But I had lots of friends in high school who lived, you know, in Manhattan, but then again, you know, parts of Manhattan are completely different, so, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. What was Mr. Johnson's retirement function like for you?
Well, I mean, so we had two. We had the one that was given by the building and grounds plan ops, and then we had one in the department. The one in the department was the history and English department, and that was, you know, very close, and everybody knew August. But the one for the plan ops, which was part of a meeting of the housekeeping and plan ops staff, but I was really struck what a lovely job they did and how nice and how they valued August, and they made a little video of interview with him that came out really nice. So they did a really professional job. It was very touching. And I was touched in another way because August always refers very fondly to the two trips to spring training. So it was sort of nice that mattered so much to him, because when Dr. Bell and I did it, you know, we did it because it was fun and we all had a good time. I mean, it wasn't like we thought we were doing something that, you know, would be so meaningful to August. We just thought it'd be fun, and we did. But so the party he he talked about that on the video. He talked about it at the function, but it's very, very nice of Vanderbilt to do that. And you know, they gave him gifts and baseball jerseys and stuff like that. So it was very nice. I think he was very touched.
What other celebrations involving Mr. Johnson within the department or otherwise can you recall?
Well, of course, you know, he always came to every Christmas party. I mean, it was part of it and things like that. And there was two young faculty members got married, and he was invited to the wedding. He and a date at the time, and it was nice. And he's been part of lots of different... He hasn't come to all the parties, but he's been invited to many, many parties, yeah.
Do you have any party memories?
I don't think parties for grown-ups are quite as memorable as parties for students.
Yeah.
You know, they're mostly standing around and talking.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't have any. I mean, except for the two, the retirement parties, which were memorable. No, I mean, I don't.
So do you think that there's been, that Mr. Johnson created a particular culture within the context of the English department specifically?
Yeah, I would say English and History Department. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been working for us for a very long time. I mean, and he's really built up a lot of connections with a variety of people. Now, you know, many faculty members have come and gone. And what's interesting is, so when we were in Vanderbilt Hall, the upper two floors were dorms. And of course, you know, a dorm is different than an office, because there's a lot more cleanup in a dorm than there is in an office. And so for several years, sometimes it was a woman's dorm, sometimes it was a men's dorm. When it was a men's dorm, it was just trashed on Monday. So poor August had to do huge amounts of cleanup. And then they renovated these buildings, Benson Science Hall, back in about 83, I think, so a long time ago. And we were going to move over here, and there was some talk at the time that because this was an office building, they would have an evening crew just come in and empty the, you know, garbage pails and clean the bathrooms and not have anybody here during the day. And we asked the dean, the then dean, if we could have August come over and work here for us. This was great for us, but it also meant that he didn't have the effort of cleaning up the dorm, you know, which was a lot more work because students, and there were people, and they're there, you know, all day long. So he moved over here, and that connection only solidified the personal connection that he had with the members of the English and History Department. And, you know, there are still people here who were part of that move. So he's definitely been a major sort of member of both departments.
Awesome. So you've also answered most of this, but what do you know about Mr. Johnson's family? Have you met and interacted? And if so, in what ways have you interacted, and what are they like?
Well, I mean, I know... Excuse me, I didn't expect that. May I just take a look?
Yeah.
That's mine, not yours, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I know his sons, and and I know his daughter. Well, I've gotten to know them better in the last year or so as August getting near retirement, because we've been, you know, talking about different things. And you know, I knew his wife, the funeral, and I knew his mother. I went to his mother's funeral. You know, and I've had some interaction, but mostly on August's behalf. I don't interact with him quite the same. So yeah, but I haven't met some of his children, but I think they all live in town. But I mean, I don't know all that detail.
Gotcha. What's something that you might want to tell Mr. Johnson that you never have?
Well, I don't know. I suppose I would tell him what I said about his generosity and stuff like that. So.
Mm-hmm.
When you write it down and we transcribe what I said, then maybe I'll remember and tell him.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, you know, about what he's meant to me and what I learned from him. That would be it.
So when you talk about his generosity, are there specific things that you can remember that were displays of how generous he is?
Well, I mean, this really attitude of being open towards people and not judgmental, not holding a grudge. You know, I can't think of like a... Well, I mean, every now and then he had some... You know, every now and then it's hard to be working in an office and, you know, working in a structure like the housekeeping, and every now and then something could come up that's a problem, but how he always handled it and how he always gave other people a benefit of a doubt. I can't think of an example particularly, and if I did, I'm not sure I could describe the details. It wouldn't be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought of him as just a genuinely, you know, honest, forthright, reliable person.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add about Mr. Johnson's character or his contributes to the Vanderbilt community?
Well, I mean, I would point out only, I mean, I talked a lot about his character, just the fact that he does represent what he's experienced as a huge way of measuring the evolution of the Vanderbilt's community over the last 60 years is really important, and what it was like when he came and what Vanderbilt was like and what it was like when, and he's been part of that. And so, yeah, I mean, that I think is an important thing to keep in mind. And, you know, he's told some stories about what it was like to be at Vanderbilt years ago, and, you know, how the black people were, you know, really not full-time hires, and that white people were full-time hires, and black people just cleaned up, that's all they did, and stuff like that, you know, and then have seen all of the changes over the years that he's seen and been part of. That's important. You know, 64 years is a huge amount. That's long before the civil rights movement, you know, if you put it in perspective, mm-hmm. right? So I think that is, his story and Vanderbilt's story is probably an interesting parallel track.
How do you say, how would you say that your experiences, your respective experiences, yours and his, have been similar and different at Vanderbilt?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, being a faculty member is a different thing because, you know, everybody else works on contract and they can be fired. Faculty can't be fired. And, of course, faculty have advanced degrees, so they're professional in a different way. So, you know, clearly in some ways, that's just a huge difference, right? You know, that's in the nature of different jobs, different contracts, different responsibilities. So it's not worth pursuing. I think what I found interesting is that I never felt there was any difference between us in our, you know, sort of interactions, even though he works in one division and I work as another division, meaning staff versus faculty, building and grounds versus teaching, stuff like that. But, you know, but it would be hard to say otherwise. That's a hard question, I think,
mm-hmm.
People are different. I mean, he's older than I am, so he's got a different, much different life span and a different life experience. But our Vanderbilt experience together over 40 years has brought us, I mean, a lot of common experiences.
How do you think he might describe his time at Vanderbilt?
Well, you have to ask him. I think he would talk about the big changes and all, and I've heard him talk about them. He talked about some of them at his the retirement party in the department. He didn't talk about, he didn't say anything at the big retirement party because you needed a microphone. I mean, it wasn't a comfortable circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he'll have, I mean, if you ever ask him, he'll have a lot to say about it.
Yeah.
He likes telling those kinds of stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. So yeah, I mean, I'd hear it from him because he's got he's got the real perspective. I've only heard them secondhand.
Well, anything else that you'd like to talk about in regards to your friendship experiences with him?
No, I mean, I think I pretty much covered it. It's meant a lot to me, and, you know, it's great. And baseball season's coming up, so, you know, a couple of weeks, so we'll have stuff to talk about again.
Yeah.
No, I thought your questions, by the way, were very, very good and
Thanks.
Very thorough. So that's great.
Thanks. And then you said you still visit him now?
Oh, yeah. Go on out and see him. You know, we talk on Sunday during a football game. You know, so yeah, I mean, I continue to see him.
That's great.
I miss him.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that is it.
All right.
Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you. I'm glad we were able to find the time.
Me too.
And when you get this typed out, just show it to me, okay?